We are in a scary time, aren't we? We may fear our own health and the health of our loved ones. We may fear the economic situation we are in. We may fear the future. What's this world going to look like for me and my family? And the academic quote has actually given a name to these kind of fears. It sounds fake, but it's real. But they call it coronaphobia. Fear of the pandemic and all the other consequences of that. Now, this fear, this phobia, is harder to overcome than other phobias, they argue, because we are reminded of it every day. The news, government policies, every time we go out, we have to put on masks and socially distance, and it is hard. Though not all of us may have coronaphobia, I'm guessing you can relate to this kind of fear. And this kind of fear not only affects us personally, it also affects us collectively. Studies also argue that as the fear of the pandemic increases, so does fear of the other. Xenophobia, or fear of those who are different than us, especially of those from different cultures, has increased as the pandemic goes on. One example is at a meat processing plant in Calgary, there was an outbreak, and 70% of those who worked there were Filipinos, and they were blamed for the virus. And Filipinos, even those who didn't work there, weren't allowed to go to grocery stores. They weren't allowed to go to banks because of fear. We're doing a series right now called Overcoming Tears and Fears. We're looking at the life of Jesus as he went to the cross and faced his own tears and fears and how he overcame them. And now we are looking at how we, in his power, can overcome. Now, maybe you are a seeker right now. You don't know Jesus. You don't know about this church thing. You're just checking it out. Glad you're here. How are your fears? Or maybe you are a believer. Those, you know, someone, you love Jesus. You're kind of new to this Jesus thing and you're excited. Are you doing okay? Or maybe you're more like a worker, someone who's worked for Jesus for a long time. You have experience. Or maybe you are actually someone called a multiplier. That is, you're on the mission of Jesus, telling others about him, showing his love to others. How are your fears? Maybe, you know, before you're like, oh, I can overcome everything. But now it's harder. It's not the same. Today we're going to look at how we can overcome our fears through our Lord Jesus. And the Bible tells us when we face fear or other intense emotion, we shouldn't just stuff or downplay or suppress our feelings. And also we shouldn't just let it out like crazy, just vent it out, let it overcome and see what happens. Rather, we should pray our fears. That is, we should look to God and just tell him what is in our heart and just let it all out to him, trusting in him, the one who is great, the one who can sustain and help us. And today we're going to look at an example of this kind of prayer. We're going to look at a psalm, the book of Psalms, Psalm actually 3. This was written by a guy named David while he was facing fear. His son, whom he loved a lot, had actually just betrayed him and was out to kill him. And he was running away from his son in fear. So I encourage you, please turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 3, and listen and hear the fears that this man David was facing, and also how he was able to overcome them. Hear the word of the Lord. Psalm chapter 3. Lord, how many are my foes? Many rise up against me. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how many troubles are against us? How many things are going on we just can't comprehend or can't handle? Help us, Lord, to say with David that you are our protector, our shield, and our glory, that we will not fear. We need you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come into this time now and use my small words for your great glory. We pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Here's what I believe God wants us to know today. No fear overcomes us when we know God, the overcomer. Before I get into this big statement, let me do a few things or a few minutes on fear. And like pain, fear is actually a gift from God given to us in order to protect us. If you ever see a bear, the first thing you do is your brain turns on and you fear, and that gives you the ability to act wisely. This happened to me while I was with some friends at the Jasper Skyline. We were hanging out talking, and then in the distance, not that far actually, we saw not one, not two, but three grizzly bears. And we were immediately afraid. And this fear made us stop what we're doing. Grab our bear spray and slowly walk around the bears. And we were okay. Thank the Lord. If we didn't have fear, we probably wouldn't be looking around that much. Probably like, oh, there's a bear. Hey, bear, how's it going? And I probably wouldn't be here today. This fear, this healthy fear, helps us. And in a similar way, healthy fear reminds us during this time to wash our hands, to put on a mask, and to socially distance when we're out in public. However, there's also this kind of unhealthy fear. And this is the type of fear that completely overwhelms and overcomes us. It controls our thoughts, our feelings, and our behaviors, and we can't even sleep at night. This is the type of fear that God wants to help us overcome. No fear overcomes us when we know God the overcomer. And God wants us to say, like David did in Psalm chapter 3, verse 2, I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. I will not fear, even though millions of the virus particles are around me. And we're just going to look at two things that we should know of God to help us overcome our fears. First is that the Lord is greater than our fears. And second, the Lord is worthy of our love. And then we're going to turn to Jesus, for in him we know truly who God is. No fear overcomes us when we know God the overcomer. Let's look at the first point. And if you have your sermon notes, if you don't, you can check on the resources tab. You can kind of follow along with that as well. If you have your notes, you can write this down. The Lord is greater than our fears. Another healthy fear that actually we are supposed to have is actually a fear of God. Over and over again in the Old Testament especially, there's this urge, this call to fear the Lord. And one example is Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says, fear the Lord and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And this fear can be a reverence and awe, or it can mean a real fear, but a healthy fear. Because fear is a natural response to something that is potentially powerful, way more powerful than you. If one day you're walking along and a dog comes up to you, kind of snarling and nasty and no leash, ooh, that's scary. If you, like me, saw three bears, ooh, that is scary. If you see a tornado coming down your neighborhood, wow, that's way more scary than everything I've ever saw. The higher the power, the more our response of fear. And let me tell you something, God is way more powerful, way more greater than any of these things, than anything we can ever imagine. And he is here right now with us. Isn't that terrifying? God is more powerful than any threat to us, whether it be the virus, natural disasters, even nuclear war. And Jesus says this in Luke 12, verse 4 and 5. Do not be afraid, of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one, fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. God is the greatest thing we can ever imagine, the most powerful thing. And because of that, we don't need to fear anything else. Bonhoeffer, commenting on these verses, says this: those who have fear of God have ceased to be afraid of man. There's no need to be afraid of anyone or anything else. Now, the enemies of David, they kind of know the greatness of God. So they kind of think they can take another tactic. They say, oh yeah, God is great, yes, but God is not on your side, David. And that's probably the scariest thing for David and for us. God may be powerful, but is he with us? Is he on our side? And David, he's genuinely worried. He says this in chapter 3, verse 2. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. And actually, you can find the story of David in 2 Samuel. And at one point, he was running away from his son. And this guy comes out and starts cursing David and says, David, God has cursed you. He's no longer with you because you are a murderer. And David was like, oh, I am a murderer. That's right. Maybe this guy is right. But after some prayer, contemplation, David was able to write this psalm because he believed the promise God had for him, that God would never leave him. God will always be with him. He believed promises like that in Deuteronomy 3, 31 verse 6, which says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is, he is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. And David, he constantly wants to remind himself of this and of the power of the Lord. He says in Psalm 3, verse 7, arise, Lord, deliver me. Take away the power of my enemies. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Verse 6 again, I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. I love this verse because I can't help but remember one of my favorite stories of the Bible. There was a prophet of God, someone called by God, called Elisha. And he was kind of on the hit list of one of the kings. He was to be assassinated. And one day he was hanging around with his servant. They fell asleep and they woke up and there was this huge army around them set to kill them. And Elisha's servant, he is trembling in his boots. He is so afraid. And he's, oh, what do we do? And Elisha, he's calm as a cucumber. And he says this in 2 Kings 6, verse 16 to 17. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the servant's like, are you crazy, Elisha? Look at all the people. And Elisha asked the Lord, open this little servant's eyes up, Lord. And the servant, he's able to see something. He saw in the distance these chariots and horses of fire. The Lord's army was with them. And the Lord delivered his children during that day. And this is a reminder for us that God is greater than our fears. God's army, his power is greater than anything we imagine. And he is with us. And David, he says something else to remind himself of this in chapter 3, verse 3. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. I love this image. In that culture, there's two types of shields. There was a small shield, which way you held a sword in kind of a hand-to-hand combat, like, you know, I strike you. And then there was this huge shield, which covered your whole body. And these shields were meant to charge into the hardest and most dangerous part of the battle. And the shield David is talking about is actually the second shield, this huge shield. And these are the words of Tim Keller. You can write these down. This shield is not a shield that gets you away from danger. This is a shield that goes into danger. David is not saying, Lord, you are my shield. That way I'll never have trouble again. I don't have to worry about anything. I'll always be protected. But rather, Lord, you are my shield. Therefore, in the midst of the hardest part of the battle, God surrounds me. And for us today, God has not promised that we will be always completely protected, that we will never feel the effects of the pandemic or other hard times in our life. But rather, the Lord promises to be our shield and our protector in the midst of the hardest parts of our lives. And we have the promise that the Lord is greater than our fears, and He is with us. No fear overcomes us when we know God the overcomer. Let's look at our second point now. You can write this in your notes. The Lord is worthy of our love. After David says, "The Lord, you are my shield," he also says, "My glory, you are my glory, the one who lifts my head up high." Now, when David uses the word glory, he is reminding himself to set his ultimate love, his ultimate worth on God alone. So he's saying, "Lord, you are the most important thing in my life." And David says, "You are my glory." And that word glory means weight, worth, significance. David is saying, "Lord, you are the most significant, the most valuable thing that I know. And in you, I get my own value, worth, significance, joy, and strength. Lord, you're the thing I love most in the whole world because you are worthy." Now, is this true for you? Can you say that the Lord is my glory, the most important thing in my life? And maybe you are a seeker, you're not really sure about this Jesus thing, and you can't say that yet. Thank you for your honesty. Maybe you're a believer, a worker, a multiplier. In the past, you could say, "Yes, Lord, you are the most important thing in my life." But today, it's like, oh, maybe you're not, Lord. You can actually find this out by looking at your fears. There was a theologian named Thomas Aquinas. He says this: "Fear is born out of love. Every fear we have comes from a love beneath it." One example: in the face of a bear coming towards you, you're afraid because you love your life. You don't want to die. In the face of the pandemic we are in, we are afraid because we love our health. We don't want to get sick. We are afraid of our loved ones getting sick because we love them. We are afraid of the economic situation because we love a comfortable life. And these are all good things. This is a healthy kind of fear. However, unhealthy fear occurs when these good things become our glory, become more important. We love them more than God. Something else takes the place of God in our life. If our glory is money or our job, when we lose that money, this irrational, crippling fear overcomes us. If our glory is this comfortable life of freedom, the loss of freedom and individual rights causes us to fear and maybe lash out on others. If our glory, if the most important thing in our life is our own ethnic identity, then we will naturally fear those who are different than us, those from different cultures. So what are your fears? And what do they tell you about your glory? The Lord's been convicting me this season, actually, and I was getting worried. I was getting afraid about, you know, financial security, my financial situation. And I was like, it was always in the back of my mind. Like, I couldn't get rid of it. And the Lord kind of chastised me or told me, "Jeremiah, do you love me more or do you love money more?" And after looking at my fears, I realized, oh, maybe in this moment, I'm loving money more. I'm loving security more than God Himself. And I had to repent and say, "Lord, you are my glory. You are the one who provides for me, not finances." And David is reminding himself that the Lord is his glory. The Lord is worthy of his love, devotion. And today, even more than David, we can have the assurance. We know with beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is worthy of our love because of Jesus. Jesus reveals to us that the Lord is good. He is worthy. Jesus reveals to us that the Lord loves us and He will always be with us. David believed that God was not on his side because he was good, but because of God's promises. And the Bible says that Jesus fulfills all the promises of God. Because like David, we don't deserve to have God on our side. Instead of trusting in God's greatness, we are prone to fear. Instead of loving God as our glory more than anything else in the world, we love other things more. Instead of following and obeying God, we continually turn away from Him. And because of this, God has the right to reject us, to let us destroy ourselves. Yet despite all this, God in His love sent Jesus, His only Son, to save us so we can find forgiveness and salvation and freedom. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us." Jesus came to be one of us, and He went to the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And leading to the cross, Jesus faced great fear. We see this in Mark 14. Jesus was, so the night before He was about to get crucified, it says here in chapter Mark 14, verse 32, "They went to a place called Gethsemane." It was a garden. "And Jesus said to His disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with Him, and He began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed to sorrow, to the point of death.' And He said to them, 'Stay here and keep watch a while.'" Now this word trouble in the original language means to be struck with terror. And Jesus was afraid because of His love with the Father. Because on the cross, if He took our sins, instead of us dying on the cross, Jesus took our sins on our place, that would mean He would be He would be separated from God, His Father, whom He loves so much. If you don't know anything, we can never understand the depth of that separation, because God was one with the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. They were always bound together. And in the moment of the cross, He would be separated from God. Jesus was afraid. Yet He overcame that fear because He loved us. Jesus went to the cross. He was forsaken by God so that we could be accepted by God, so we could be forgiven of our sins and be reconciled back to God. And Jesus did all this because He loved us. And now the promise of Deuteronomy is ours, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And through Jesus, we have this promise because He loves us. And because of that, there's no need to fear. 1 John 4:18 puts it like this, kind of sums up what I've been saying. It says here in 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Knowing God loves us drives out this fear, because fear has to do with punishment." We're afraid because we know we're sinners. We don't deserve God's love. We're afraid to be punished. "The one who fears not made perfect in love, and we love because God first loved us." Jesus took the punishment for us. There's no need to fear God. God, the great one, is now on our side. And all we have to do is receive this gift of salvation. I encourage you, maybe if you're a seeker and have not accepted Christ and His love, consider that today. And because Jesus was a human, He understands our fears. He is able to help us overcome our fears when it seems impossible. No fear overcomes us when we know God, the overcomer. And let me just end with this. In Jesus, we also have the promise that the Lord is greater than our fears, greater than even death. Because, if you know the story, Good Friday, Jesus died. And Sunday, Easter happened. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus defeated the evil one, the enemy, and his two weapons of mass destruction, sin and death, on the cross. Death could not hold Him. The grave could not keep Him. Jesus is greater than even death. And the Bible says in Romans 8:11 that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and now the Holy Spirit lives in us. You can write this in your notes. The Holy Spirit inside us is greater than the dangers outside, greater than anything. We don't even need to fear death. In Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, God is with us as our shield and as our glory, and He will help us overcome our fears. No fear overcomes us when we know God, the overcomer. And we know God through His Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. As a way to summarize everything, let me just give you three quick points of application. The first one is, you can write this down in your notes. God has not promised take away our struggles, but he promises to be our shield in our struggles and in our fear. So trust him. And two, in your fear, God may be teaching you what your glory is. Is it God? Confess if you have loved other things more than God. And third, come to Jesus, and he will help you overcome your fears through the Holy Spirit. No fear overcomes us when we know God, the overcomer. Now, there's so many great examples at Mosaic House of people being in Christ and overcoming the fears that we are facing. And I just want to praise God for what he's doing. And I want to quickly mention the frontline workers at Mosaic House. And even if you are watching this and, I mean, you're not part of this church family, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. Those who know Jesus and are on the front lines, you are examples of Christ's courage, and you are encourage us to be strong, to trust in God the overcomer. And let me remind you that God is your shield. Keep it up. He is with you. I'm a frontline worker myself, and one of the people I'm serving who is experiencing homelessness, he wanted to tell me and tell you, thank you so much. You put your life on the line every day. You are an example of Christ's love. So help us, Mosaic. Let us encourage our frontline workers. They teach us to be strong, but they also need our support. Let's continue to pray for them and encourage them. Let us all together trust in the Lord, the overcomer of our fears. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you that you are greater than anything we can imagine, greater than our fears. We see this in Jesus at the cross, overcoming sin and death. And also, thank you that you are worthy of our love. You, Jesus, loved us first, even though we didn't deserve it. Help us to know you more and more, Lord. We confess and we have loved other things more than you. Lord, help us to turn our devotion and our hearts towards you first, knowing that you are our shield and our glory. Guide us, Lord. Protect us. Protect everybody who is struggling, so much uncertainty. You are with us, and that is enough. We pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.